Good morning and welcome to that comedy time. Whew, my God, the weather is, let's say it's getting winterly every day. Whether or not winterly is an English word, I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. Let's talk comedy. Serious conversations is well over. First of all, I have to share with you some safety information. The president just gave, a press statement at the State House where she said that anyone that will be caught taking a shower today will be arrested for attempted suicide because, the weather is not very showerly friendly. We are 3 million people. We are 3 million. We cannot afford to, to lose any one of you. Not to anything, especially not to the cold weather. Now, you heard the madam. Anyone that will be caught taking a shower today will be arrested for attempted suicide. Now that we have that out of the way, but don't say I didn't tell you. The president spoke. I'm just relaying the information. Don't shoot the messenger. Shower equals attempted suicide because, well, we love you so much. We don't want anything happening to you. Well, she loves you because she wants you to keep voting for her. I love you because I want you to keep laughing at my jokes. Well, everyone love you for what they want to use you for. I know this is one of those things that makes people want to go, I mean, you can't keep saying that. Well, there's one gentleman whose video I came across on social media that said something controversial, but I totally agree with the man that in life, there's only one person that wishes you to do well. And it's not the person that you think. Let's look at it this way. Lawyers wants you to get into, to get into trouble. Doctors wants you to be sick. There's nothing good about you getting into trouble, but that's what lawyers want you to, that's where lawyers want you to be. Now, there's nothing good about being sick, but that's what doctors and nurses wants to happen to you. Teachers wants you to be dumb. Politicians also. Politicians and teachers, same WhatsApp group. They all want you to be dumb. Now, police officers also want, they don't want you to be a law-abiding, they want you to be more deranged every now and then, to put the action in their, law enforcement activities. And the only person that wishes you well is a thief. Because, well, if you don't have anything, he's not gonna have anything to steal. Therefore, shout out to all the thieves, because it's only thieves that wants us to do well in life so that we can acquire things for them to steal. Well, not entirely well that they're wishing us, but compared to doctors, nurses, police officers, teachers, lawyers, thieves wishes us to do well in life. It's only thieves. The rest, they don't. Now someone is dialing. I will have to correct. I mean, I have a PhD in psychology. What he's saying is wrong. It's a joke. You're just supposed to laugh. You educated moron. Now, you're just supposed to laugh. There's something called a joke. Now, I can't explain that. That's where you have dictionaries. If you are educated, actually, you should understand the word joke without someone explaining it to you. Welcome to all my listeners, whether you're listening via the app, a website, or the wonderful live stream, the violence that I've just started for myself. It seems to me that, but hey, we all have to start somewhere. We all have to start somewhere. And, it seems to me like, there are two things that, that makes a good recipe for success in life. And that is, first of all, figuring out what you're good at. Second of all, sticking to it. Now, both these two things, figuring out what you're good at and sticking to it, are not very easy to do. Now, in the e-villager today, which is a newspaper that's produced by yours truly here, actually those guys out there, if I put an article in there, every one of you will be like, okay, my God. Well, those of you that like jokes will like my articles. Those one of you that do not like jokes will have a heart attack. Of which, again, if you have a heart attack, whether from my article or from my show here on Eagle FM, especially from 9 to, you know, especially from 9 to 11. Your heart attack cannot be attributed to Eagle FM, nor yours truly here, because, well, I warn you guys all the time before, at the beginning of my show, my morning show, that, what I'm literally paid to do for my morning show is to make fun of pretty much everyone that comes in my way. Not have serious discussion. No, that's for the afternoon show. God knows I try. But, you know, also sometimes, you know, jokes just escape my mouth, flying left, right, and center. Now, two things to clarify here. Now, where I started was, well, the president this morning gave a press release where she said, and I quote, "Anyone that will be caught taking a shower this morning will be arrested for attempted suicide." Now that we have that out of the way, also let's look at let's look a little bit at success. Apart from knowing a guy who knows a guy, okay, let me just dial it back. When it comes to success, the advice I always give people is there are two things. Education is the key to, yeah, forget that crap. Education is the key holder to success. Knowing a guy who knows a guy who was most, you know, born in the right family, that's the key. The key holder is education. The key is knowing a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. Now, if the guy who knows a guy who knows a guy was born in the right family, take for example with the right surname, like, you know, like Oppenheimer, not Closedheimer. That one is not the right Heimer. If you are looking for the Heimers, you are looking for the open ones, not the close ones. The close ones are most likely broke, and they are enjoying the refugee status thanks to Donald Trump somewhere in the U.S. But the Oppenheimers, now those are the loaded ones. Now, and also, what other known surname here? De Beers. Now, the wine, the Fanta, the soft drink, yeah, stay away from those. What you are looking for is the beers. Now, see, the beers loaded. The Fanta, the Coke, the wine, most likely broke. The, you know, the Ombike, the Otombo, most likely broke. The beers, that's where the money is. And now let's, Nuyoma. That's what you are looking for. Now, Yoma, most likely broke. I hope you are taking notes, because I'm really spewing some economic wisdom here. Sometimes I'm so proud of me. Like, who is this? This guy's, one of these guys from Top Gear. Likes to brag that sometimes my genius terrifies even me sometimes. Or if you want to put it the West African way, this my wisdom no go kill me. Okay, now let's go with the West African way. It's much more awesome. This my wisdom no go kill me. So when it comes to success, you are looking at two things, and get both education and knowing a guy. Education only not gonna cut it. Knowing a guy is most likely going to cut it, but it's kind of difficult to know a guy if you are not going through education. Now, as soon as you graduate, students, for those of you that graduated, start attending stakeholder engagements. These are like meetings, but with an open buffet. That's one of the very good reasons I like, attending stakeholder engagements. A lot of people go there to meet a guy. No wonder, that explains why I haven't met a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. Because, well, most of the times when I'm attending these events, I'm more interested in what they have at the buffet. Not what is being discussed. I mean, I listen to some of it, and all protocol observed. Like, the first half an hour is going to be spent, like if they say, if you hear of a meeting of a bunch of politicians that are coming together at an event, and that meeting starts at 8 o'clock. I recommend you go there at 9:30, because, factor in African time and all protocol observed. Now, let me explain that. African time means if they say 8 o'clock, chances are very high that event is starting at 9. Now, at this point, why am I saying, go there at 9? Well, don't go there at 9. Go there at 9:30. Because, the time from 9 o'clock to 9:30 will be used to observe protocol. The main event will start at 9:30. And if it says the ending time is 4, go with a lunchbox. That event is ending at 8. It's one of the reasons why I don't like meetings. They have beginning times, but ending times, absolutely, they're lying. For both beginning and ending time. Factor in, again, African time, and if there is a bunch of political politicians coming together, factor in at least half an hour of all protocol observed. What would you people do without me? Without this, my wisdom? So, we're still on success. How do you get successful? Apart from education, apart from working to acquire education and knowing a guy who knows a guy, who knows a guy. Now, if you can meet a guy who was born in the right family, knowing that guy is, you know, is even better. Now, another two things, the point is, two things that you also have to put in mind, apart from education and knowing a guy when it comes to success, is figuring out what you are good at, which is not easy on its own, and the second one is, sticking with it, or what those that went to private school like to call consistency. Now, sticking with it, we'll get to sticking with it later. Let's start with figuring out what you are good at. Now, figuring out what you are good at is not easy. Believe me. Because one thing that I'm very good at is comedy. I know. I'm proud of me too. But you see, I had a lot of resistance in high school. I wanted to figure out what I was good at. But what I called comedy, my teachers called it noise making. You see the difference? It's about perception. My teachers called it noise making. I didn't call it comedy though. I called it, I don't think I had a name for it. I know I like doing it. Now, figure out what you enjoy doing. As long as it's not stealing, because, well, if you are good at stealing, just understand that some of the operational hazards that comes with your talent is a bullet at the back of your head. So, you know, I'm just saying, know the risk when you are getting into whatever it is that you want to get into. You know, it's like falling for someone's wife. You know that, I mean, maybe they are nice, maybe they, maybe they are also good in bed, maybe they, you know, they buy you gifts, but you have to understand that occupational hazard of doing something like that is a husband finding out and, imagine being caught in someone's, being caught in someone's house with someone's wife and being shot was my biggest fear. Until my dirty mind took a very different direction, right? So I started thinking about, okay, you know what? I know that's brutal and bad, but, what if someone, take for example, catches you with their wife in their bedroom, and then they hold you at gunpoint, and they're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do to you what you were doing to my wife. I can explain. Do you want me to shoot you, or are you gonna bend over? Chai! What will you do in that situation? Let's leave it there, because, well, I'll leave that for my comedy, I'll leave that for my stage comedy. My God. Now, that's the direction, that's the dirty direction my mind took. That's when I was like, actually, being shot is not that bad. Being shot is not that bad. Or, they'll be like, you know what? Homeboy is even like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna do to you what you have been doing to my wife. Sweetheart, check in that drawer. There's baby oil. Oh, yeah, bring it here. At this point, Oga is holding you at gunpoint. Man, that story is going viral. I would love to talk about it here. But that's actually the reason why I like to stay away from people's, sweethearts. Because, look, first of all, my interest is reciprocity. I want people to stay away from my sweetheart. Also, at some point it's bound to become a sour heart, but time will tell with that one. So just, well, leave me alone. Make a, you know, enjoy me to allow myself. So, let's, you know, Derek Khan Beidi success discussion we were prattling about just a couple of dates ago. Now, moving on. Apart from, you know, apart from knowing a guy and education, two things, other two things that you have to figure out to be successful is, figuring out what you are good at. Once you have that covered, is sticking with it, aka being consistent into doing it over and over again. Until you cultivate an audience that a bunch of, that a bunch of guys want to monetize on, then those guys will pay you money to have access to your audience. It's called marketing. Now, that's if you are in the media line of work. If you are a lawyer, well, then you have to, you have to defend a bunch of guys that have acquired their behind load of money in some either legally or just flat out, morally questionable means. I know. So, consistency is key. Now, where am I getting this inspiration of consistency is key? Because in the E-Villager today, which is a newspaper that we produce here at Eagle FM, which you can subscribe to by sending the word subscribe via WhatsApp to 0812004144. Make I repeat that again. 0812004144. Write the word subscribe and then send it to 0812004144. So save the number so you are not a stranger. That subscription will give you access to up to date national and global current events taking place in global and national. Now, all you just need is a decent internet connection, and you're good. And this will be in your inbox, in your WhatsApp inbox every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Don't say I didn't hook you up. Good morning, Comrade Oga Helmut and your Eagle FM colleagues. Colleagues, you have been greeted by my viewers and our listeners. You're welcome. And, I like the tate title. Good morning to, Panamueño, Valvis Bay. So, let me get to the E-Villager where I drew my inspiration this morning. IUM Ongwediva campus from nothing in 1999 to one of the top campuses. So, most of you. How old were you in 1999? For those of you that were born, or if you were not born, just shut up. 1999. Was like, 10? I think? Let's take a break.
Olium Nangeshifa, Noahara Kushivifa Oma Kuro Kupitira Mohurike Radio Station Oyo Eagle FM, Enya Mukuro Olongaha, Ningekwatafano na Monica, Kushikondosha Ipindi, Kon Norahita Twimwe, Heari Imwe, Ne Heari, Imwe Imwe Nohamano, that is 0817147116, Momberewa Konoraheta Natu, Bali Oheta Tuvatatu, Ne Nola No Natu, Nenge Tumo Emaila, ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Just a playing technician here, and thank heavens I, figured it out on my own, because, this is my wisdom, no go kill me. In 2 minutes, we are going to take a commercial break, but before then, let's run into this whole Ongwediva campus, IUM Ongwediva campus, wonderful story. There is a timeless age that assets that great things often have small beginnings. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Like, how many steps do you want to start with? Like, really? Let's just, but anyway, we cake, but we judge knee. This resonates proudly with the extraordinary journey of the of IUM Ongwediva campus, which have evolved from a modest origin into one of the premier academic institutions in the Oshana region. The consistency part here is that 1999 to 2024. Yoo-hoo. If you know those ones that, if you know someone that was there at the beginning of the take, of one of the banking institutions, Bank Windhoek, it's sort of like have a similar story. Like, starting a business is not easy, guys. So you have to wait. Now, this is also something that, the couple or the family that started Bank Windhoek spent a couple of years without seeing any type of monetary value, at least not for themselves, coming out. Before that, let's take a break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. Where was I? Bank Windhoek. The family that started that institution spent a couple of years without seeing any type of positive monetary value, at least not for themselves. That's how that's how much like patience it takes to build something that magnificent in terms of economic value. And it seems to me like it's not just in banking. You have the same thing taking place in politics. We all know that, that political party will not mention that just won one seat in parliament. How long did that homeboy say he spent, trying to put everything together? The journey between the establishment of his political party to winning that one seat last year's election. How long did it take, homeboy? Like 20 years? So if you just started with your plan, it's going to take a while, unless you know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, which is, again, it's very important to know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. It's going to take a while. all you just have to do is stick with it. One of my favorite story now, also when it comes to consistency and actually endurance in terms of patience for waiting for your plan to succeed, is the story of Vaseline. It's a very fascinating story, but it took homeboy about what, like 10 years to perfect what you and I are using to, you know, soften our lips. I need to get me some, speaking of which. It took him about 10 years to refine the product in a way that it is today. Just put in mind that it's petroleum jelly. It's coming from the gooey, which is crude oil byproduct. Now, if someone just took crude oil and put it in that container, you wouldn't be putting it on your lips, would you? Because, well, for one, it's black and people just seems to not like the color black very much. Unless, you know, which is why everything black is associated to something illegal. Black magic. At least on the bright side, we know that if there's something called black magic, at least we know there's something called white magic. That's a fancy way of saying black witchcraft, white witchcraft. So we're all witches. Nice to know. Black market. And by the way, one thing you'll find fascinating. You want to know the people, you know that the people that are dominating the black market in a lot of aspects are not even black. But, well, the whole market is called black market. And then there's black people. Those people that are very interesting to look at. Now, let me take you on a detour straight to my poster for today's show. I just pointed out that it takes a lot of things for one to figure out what they're good at. It takes a lot of energy for one to figure out what they're good at. It takes even more energy for, to make what one is good at work for them. But here's the thing. While a lot of people are going out there hustling to try to know a guy who knows a guy, to try to get themselves either a certificate or a degree or a PhD or whatever qualification you want to achieve. Whatever qualification you want to get. And, while you are grinding, trying to be consistent with what you are doing, somewhere out there is, you just have a couple of relatives that are just making babies after babies after babies that will call you uncle or auntie. Here's one thing I don't understand about, I think we have to work on as Africans, for the love of God. Look, one of my cousin literally told his siblings that this whole nonsense of, running around having a bunch of kids, and then you tell them 10 years from now that go to your uncle because he doesn't have kids. You have to understand that there's a reason why I decided not to have kids. We looked at the guy. I was like, man, that's cold. That's really cold. Put in mind, we are in Africa. He's black and he's talking to his siblings. He's just telling them flat out that, look, practice something called family planning. Because, I'm grinding for me, my wife and my kids. Now, the problem with a lot of us Africans is, while one of the family member is grinding, the others are running around grinding in a different direction. And when they end up, five different kids with five different fathers or five different mothers, all those kids now have to go where? To uncle. Now you will go to your uncle because, well, he doesn't have kids. Yes. Thank you very much. But now, some of us like to play, cool uncle. I'll just take all your kids for all my relatives and friends. I will just come with my car, take all your kids for a holiday, spoil them rotten, and bring them back so they can give you guys a heart attack. I think I'm going to make an excellent cool uncle. All I just have to do is be loaded. When I sort that out, and you and I are friends, I'm not giving you money. Oh, no. No. You hustle for you. Your kids, on the other hand, I'm taking them every holiday, spoiling them rotten, and then bring them back to use so they can yip in your ear left, right, and center. No, but Uncle Helmut buys for us this. No, but Uncle Helmut buys for us. When you are buying for them, when you are buying for them techno, I take them out and buy for them iPhone 30. Then bring them back. And now, when you take them to guest houses, I will take them to 5-star hotels. So when they can come back, they can annoy the heck out of you. No, but you know, the hotel we were staying in, we were staying with Uncle Helmut, it had house helps. We had our butler. We had our chef. They will be annoying the heck out of you. Now, for those of you that want to be cool uncles, that's our goal. Let's focus on that goal. Our goal is to work so hard that, and then to work so hard, when we are loaded, we go back to our families and friends and tell them, we are not here for you. We are just here for these little ones. We just take them for holidays, spoil them rotten, and bring them. Guys, we are buying for them things their parents cannot afford. And that's on purpose. We are buying for them things their parents cannot afford. Now, in case I'm not successful, please, for the love of God, don't do that to my kids. I don't want to die. Now, if I'm successful, I'm doing that to your kids. What I'm going to do is every holiday, I'm taking your kids, buying for them things that you cannot afford, so that when they come back from that holiday, they can annoy the hell out of you. You, that first week after they come back from the holiday, you are never going to hear the end of Uncle Helmut. Uncle Helmut did this. Uncle Helmut did this. And then the story of, so, does your uncle have an auntie? Oh, he has, auntie. Are you kidding me? Uncle Helmut has aunties. You know, auntie number one, you know, bought for us this, we went out with the auntie. That's when I'm like, kids, if you want me to keep taking you on these tours, enough with auntie stories. No more aunties. Just talk about the stuff that I'm buying for you, not the stuff that I'm spoiling myself with. I don't think I'm going to be a good uncle, am I? But look, I have faith in me. I'm going to be an excellent uncle. All I just have to do is work hard. You know, like David Namandi. And, you know, some people that started selling, some people that started their business selling diamonds. I meant sweets. Moving on. Now, I just realized that I have not talked about international politics in a while. So I decided today I was going to give it a shot. But, try to go through something, you know, continue going through some, local stuff. But, local is, lekker to some degree. But the thing about some of the local sensitive stories is that I don't have bodyguards. That's the problem. Now, that's not on me. That's on you. You guys are not laughing at my jokes loud enough. Because if you are laughing at my jokes loud enough, I would be, you know, just, you know, I would be getting me a lot of money so I can just make a lot of, you know, so I can make fun of, well, everyone. Because, well, you know, I'll be doing that knowing that I have bodyguards. No, I'll still not do that. Because, well, that's not how I die. Moving on, some of the, you know, among other stories that before we get to the international part, because that will be more, yeah, you know, just, it will, that will be a little boring depending on whether or not you like geopolitics. Now, some of the stories coming out of the e-villages that, import highlights market potential for local plant production in Namibia. Okay, now, Helmut and Dwight on Home Run talked about, Namibia's, the smartphone market that exists on the African continent that is being exploited in not in a diabolical way, it's being harvested. Let's go with harvested. That's being harvested by the, you know, by Chinese smartphone company. That's because, well, there is a market. We don't want to use it. We are the market. We don't want to use our own market. And, well, China was like, huh, I'm going to go there and supply them with smartphones. And they're here. So I'm not surprised to, I'm not surprised to find on the cover of the e-villager, on the front page of the e-villager that, according to the import data we have on, you know, on plant produce, we have a market here for, you know, if you want to venture into agriculture, we have a market here. But there's one thing I've come to learn about a lot of African businesses. Guys, marketing is not our strong suit. First of all, now, as someone that works for a commercial radio station, I'll tell you if you did not know. Marketing is expensive. Yeah. All the ads that you keep hearing, when yours truly here start saying, let's take a commercial break. That 5 seconds, 10 seconds jingle, it's costing a lot of money. Why? Because, it's costing a lot of money, but it's reaching a very large audience that are all going to come and buy your product and therefore make you even more money. Let me give you an example. I'm not a mathematician and I will not even attempt to, to crunch the numbers. The BS Diamonds Are Forever engagement ring campaign was done in the 1940s. You wanna just try to imagine how much DBS have made from that campaign since that time to today. Chances are very high they spent millions on that campaign, but you can bet they have made billions out of it. Marketing is not our strong suit. South Africa has a large marketing, has a broader understanding on marketing than we are as Namibians. But a lot of African countries and a lot of business individuals don't market their products for a lot of, I can imagine for a lot of reasons. Reason number one, like I just pointed out, marketing is not cheap. Marketing is not cheap. If you are going to get someone to endorse your product, take for example, like prominent figures in the Namibian entertainment industry, like Gaza, for example, that's going to cost you a lot of money. But that's what we always look at, and then just go like, I'm not spending my money on that guy. I'm not spending my money on that funny guy on Eagle FM. But here's the thing: by putting your product in Gaza's hands, you are reaching out to Gaza's audience. That's one thing that's one thing I like about Europeans. They understand this. What they want is reach. The reason why, if you remember the, last year's interview, that's last year, right? Between, Tucker Carlson and the Russian president. I don't know what specific question that Tucker Carlson asked, but, Putin's response is still stuck in my head because Putin's response was one where he acknowledged that when it comes to media reach and propaganda, it's hard to beat the West. It's difficult. Why? Because of their reach. A lot of us today know more about Hollywood culture than our own culture. Have you ever wondered why? It's because that's the Western reach. Speaking. A lot of us, everything that we thought we knew about the Chinese comes out of Hollywood. A lot of us grew up thinking that every Chinese can do Kung Fu. Why? Because of Bruce Lee. Because of Jet Li. Because of Jackie Chan. All these characters, all these guys are coming out of what? Hollywood's courtesy of information sharing. Information is very powerful. Marketing is everything. Crossing your fingers and hoping, on the other hand, is something we also have to talk about as, Africans. Farming, we cross our fingers and hope. Business, we cross our fingers and hope. Investments, cross our fingers and hope. Before you see, before you see multinational corporation coming into your country to invest, you can bet they hired an army of lawyers, an army of accountants, an army of business experts to study your country from inside out. The decision they were given, that's the decision they are basing their investment on. Not the speech they are giving you at that stakeholder engagement where they are meeting you. That's not the reason why they are there. They have done their homework. Now, the problem with Africans is, we cross our fingers and hope a lot. Throw in prayers and miracles and you just feel even more pity for us. Don't get me wrong. As a Christian, I believe in prayer. You may not believe in prayer, but as a Christian, I believe in prayer. But I'm one of those Christians that believe that, if you just pray and then sleep without going out there and hustle, you're gonna wake up and be broke and hungry. You're gonna pray again and still be broke. Now, a lot of Christians nowadays, both relationship-wise or, those that are looking for relationship and those that are looking for a job and everything, we pray a lot and then just sit at home and say, God will do it. Let me give you a David example. David believed in God from childhood, which is why he got the power to kill Goliath, according to our good book story. But here's the thing. To kill Goliath, David had to leave the house to go and throw the stone. He didn't, pray at home like, Lord, I want to kill Goliath. Just by Bluetooth, I will just sleep, my Lord, and you have got this covered in the name of Jesus. No, David prayed, then left the house to go to the battlefield and then killed Goliath. Now, that's someone that's described in the book of Psalms that, by God, I think, is that in the book of Psalms or, is that the book of Psalms? God is describing David as a man after my own heart. Can God say that about you? If the answer is no, which is most likely no, what makes you think that, David left the house to go and kill Goliath, but you want God to do everything for you when you're just there on your couch, ground shaking prayers and, moisturizing your entire house with holy water. Again, for the millionth time, leave the house. For the millionth time. Stop using God's name as an excuse for being lazy. Just say you are lazy. You are lazy. No sense. Moving on. Man, I can come up with a lot of stories from the Bible, I'm telling you. You see, there's this guy in First and Second Kings. This is the story of Elijah. Elijah was alive during the time when the king of Israel was Ahab. Now, Ahab was not the problem. The wife, Jezebel, that was the problem. Now, Jezebel was this Kaslay queen, smoking hot and deranged. And for some reason, a lot of the hot girls I've met are crazy. And it's like hotness and craziness are directly proportional. The hotter she is, the most likely really crazy and cranky she is. Now, if you're going for the hot one, fasten a seatbelt. Jezebel wanted Elijah dead so much. So, she decided to go through, to use the husband who was a king at the time to start sending a bunch of armies out there to hunt out, Elijah. You know what Elijah was doing? He was running. Like, literally running. And hiding. This is the guy that worshipped the Lord. And, Elijah is one of those people that didn't die, right? He was translated to heaven according to the Bible. He ran for his life. He didn't kneel down and pray that, may this army not see me because, You have covered me in the blood of Jesus or holy water or holy oil, whatever the heck you want to call it. No, Ren. Ren, I tell you, Ren. Like Frank Frederick, actually faster than Frank Frederick, Ren, because well, there was some kind of divine intervention in his athleticism. But the point is, I think we have misunderstood religion, and this is not just in Christianity, this is the world over. Have you seen India? Jesus Christ. The point is, I think, for me, the story, you know, just the two stories that are coming out of the Bible, that's the story of, you know, the story of Elijah and the story of David. Actually, they are all of those stories. One thing that goes to show me is, yes, I can pray, but after my prayer, I also have to go out there and work. Because it's not happening at the comfort of my couch. Actually, I'll be gaming like, you know what, God will do it. Yeah, right. You have someone, you know, I've always asked myself, why are miracle churches dominated by women? Then I think I'm beginning to understand why. It's because a lot of you guys are praying for a husband. And every time I run into you and ask for your number, you will go home and pray for me because the devil have possessed me. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. What? I just said, hi, can I have your number? How are you? Good, you know, nice, you know, prophetic dress. So, now that I have finished, you know, angering a lot of Christians, moving on. Nah, I'm still giving credit to my wisdom on this one. Now, 60 out of 121 constituency youth enterprises proposal ready for financing. Youth, tsuletsang volume. Kahukuba. Okay, kahukuba. Oh, you know what? Kalibesi tswana batluba mdimo. You still have a few vocabulary in there. One thing for sure is you are not going to gossip me. Right, so youth, listen very carefully. Leseriso. This next part is a hoot news out of the Villager newspaper. For your financial benefit. A report by the National Council Standing Committee on Education, Science, ICT and Youth Development has revealed that 60 out of 121 proposals under the Constituency Youth Enterprise Initiative are ready for financing. The committee shared its finding following an engagement with the now dismantled Ministry of Sports, Youth and National Service. Yeah, I mean, these guys were very dramatic to add, you know, at the end of their, at the end of last year, they were very dramatic, you know, had leadership issues here and there, you know, there was, attempted coup after attempted coup, you know, it was a little bit like Namco, but minus, you know, millions of dollars of oil money involved. Now, the constituency Youth Enterprise Initiative is a government program aimed at fostering youth entrepreneurship and driving economic development across all 121 constituencies. 60 out of 121, that's more than half. No, actually, 60 times 2 is 120, so that's just about, and I can't stress this enough, about a half. Now, 60 out of 121. Half a loaf is better than nothing. So let's go with that. According to that report, which I have. Oh dear. Now this is one of those reports that that's coming out of the parliamentary standing committee. Parliamentary Standing Committee. This is just a bunch of investigative bodies within the parliament that investigate different things. There are those that investigate Oshakati Doors that have taken over 6 months to replace. That was the that was a courtroom door. So the investigating team was the Constitutional Legal Affairs Standing Committee, and you have the agriculture, you have one on natural resources, public administration, economics and public administration, the one that investigated NBC strike back in 2021, and the NBC did not like the report. And how far is that case, by the way? I really need to do a follow up. That's juicy. But anyway, now the initiative is being implemented by Nantu Likwafela Initiative, and is designed to support youth entrepreneurs through financial assistance, training, and business development opportunities. In this initiative, can we please normalize having a marketing budget? Let's normalize having a marketing budget. I know. Everywhere we go, we see billboards. Those are marketing avenues. Just get their number, call them, and ask them, how much am I paying for this per day? Newsflash. It's going to, how much does it cost to put my article in your newspaper? To put my article, or more like, to put my business in your newspaper, on your social media, for me to have a 10 minutes interview. A lot of how do I know that a lot of us don't understand marketing? Because I've had a lot of my friends and my friends' friends call me and say, can I have an interview on your show? I'm like, the interviews, if you are going to hear me conducting an interview on my show, those are instructions coming from marketing. If you want to market with Eagle FM, you're going to have to call 083-288-400 and then talk to marketing, and then they will walk you through the prices. Then you can find out which one you can afford and what time do you want that interview to take place. Now I have to explain all this to my friends. I'm like, look, I have a radio show. Now, here's the thing. If you are going to market on my show, you will have to go through marketing. I can't sneak you in. It's a radio station. Everyone is going to be listening. And they will send me the invoice. And I don't want anything to do with that invoice, because first of all, I mean, I like you, man, but not with my salary, The line is drawn somewhere. Don't get me wrong. You and I come a long way. We're buddies, homies, tight. But with my salary, my salary, my wife, girlfriend, let's keep that aside. We are friends, but not like that. Thank you. So I think one thing we do not normalize, and I've seen this, I've seen this with a lot of public events. Marketing. And you cannot market, take for example, I'm hosting a show, and a show is taking place, today's Wednesday, this coming Friday, and I start marketing today. What? Like, this is why, you should leave some of these things to experts. If you don't know how to market, your first hustle should be for the marketing budget, and then approach a marketing agency, assuming we have some of those here, and then sit with them so they can give you all the relevant idea on how to reach, on how to reach the largest audience. Oh, I'm not scaring the heck out of you. I'm telling you, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, but it's going to benefit you in a long run. And I have given you an example of, De Beers ran a multi-million dollar campaign in the 1940s that, you know, that ended up with you adding a diamond ring on your engagement ring. Put in mind, an engagement ring did not always have diamonds. That was De Beers' brainchild. Believe me, it was a brilliant idea. And they made a movie out of it. They wrote songs out of it. They wrote articles out of it. They had a bunch of stakeholder engagements out of it, as you can imagine. Now, this is in the 1940s. Even though De Beers spent multi-million dollars on that campaign, how much do you think they have made on engagement rings only from 1940 to 2025? You are welcome. Again. So, a lot of us, when we, when we are given, and I know, there's one guy that I remember, showing up here. He's from East Africa. I'm not going to mention because I could tell from the accent. And also he has a small forehead. He's from West Africa. I could tell from the accent. And also his forehead is not as big as mine. Characteristic number one of someone coming out of East Africa is, Yiso. The Bamberi say, Hrot. Bamberi means, forehead, right? But anyway, have you seen Somalians and Kenyans and Tanzanians or Ethiopians? Ethiopians and Somalians? Forehead. Bayahrot. That's how you know that. If you see someone with a Bayahrot forehead, chances are very high they're from East Africa. So if you find yourself in Southern Africa like yours truly here, and you look on the mirror and you see that your forehead can generate enough solar energy for the entire country, then you know that chances are very high when our ancestors were migrating from whatever part of Africa we came from, most likely Benin and, most parts of modern day Ghana and Nigeria. Chances are very high your ancestors came from East Africa. If you are slim, tall or short, if you are tall and has a big forehead, chances are very high, East Africa. If you are buff and have a small forehead, chances are very high you are one of those people that are coming through DRC. If you can trace your lineage in terms of ancestral lineage, chances are very high you can trace it to DRC, then you're most likely going to find some of your DNA sprinkled across across Ghana. Someone right now, the most painful part about today's world is someone right now is taking notes. Man, this guy is speaking sense. Guys, just laugh at the jokes. Not an expert at genetics, no history, no theology. Nope. I'm just very good at mocking them. Not very good at analyzing them on an expert level. Let's take a break.
Ulio mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira muhurike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali ohe tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM. Lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. The time is 23 minutes left to the hour of 11. That is where I say goodbye. But until then, let's take a little bit of an international look of let's take a look at international politics now, shall we? Donald Trump's foreign policy have caused a lot of interesting decisions being made out of a lot of European countries. We're talking about Western Europe. Eastern Europe is just Eastern Europe is a different type of Europe. Believe me, they're like the complete opposite. Because this whole thing of "I am so offended," that's a Western European thing. In Eastern Europe, oh no. Now that's where you find all the tough Europeans. That's where you find them. Those ones that understand that, first of all, life is tough. Life is not going to be soft. It's tough. And naturally, it's tough. That's just life. The more you make peace with us, the more you are going to realize that, that you are going to enjoy life by beginning to ignore. You know, you have to develop an ignoring strategy. But I'm not here to give you, life coping mechanisms. But I'm here to look at what's going on in the world of geopolitics. Now, in the world of geopolitics, coming out of the Western world is the UK, Canada, and France. Yeah, the UK, Canada, and France threatens Israel with concrete action. Over Gaza. Now, according to these three countries, they are just realizing that what Israel is doing in Gaza is against international law. What? Might be? We are way past might. Like at this point, way past might. But what are they saying now? This was yesterday. Israel's military. The leaders of Britain, Canada, and France threatened concrete action, quote unquote, against Israel on Monday if it does not stop a renewed military offensive in Gaza and lift aid restriction, piling further pressure on Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. What I find interesting is that in terms of international pressure and international condemnation, Israel finds itself in the very same shoe that South Africa was in the 1980s. South Africa was basically becoming very, trying to ramp up military operations left, right, and center. There was an article that, I think that was in the Namibian Facebook page yesterday of one prominent bishop's relative that was killed by the South African forces in Angola. So you see that the more international pressure piles up, if you look at it from South African example, the more that draws desperation to whatever regime that international pressure is applying, is applied on. Now here's the thing: these three countries, what they are calling on is the renewed military offensive, because at this point, this is not a war. This is a genocide, just flat out a genocide. This is just a bombardment. Helmut and Mandume is called fighting. Helmut and Mandume's 3-year-old, that's not fighting. That's called beating. which again, it's not beating. It's something even more diabolical because it's a 3-year-old that's supposedly fighting with a fully grown man. Now, these three countries, you have to, now, let me just read that for you again. Then you can just point out what's wrong with that one paragraph. The leaders of Britain, Canada, France threatened concrete action against Israel on Monday if it does not stop renewed military offensive in Gaza and lift restrictions. And lift aid restrictions, piling further pressure. Lift aid restrictions. Now, let's look at the countries that are, that said this. Number one is Britain. First of all, who the heck gave Israel the land? It was the British. But say Balfour, where the word Balfour Declaration came from, one that gave quote unquote gave the land. That whole thing of, you know, God gave it to us. No, that was a Balfour. Unless the British are the lords, to be fair, they call themselves, they have a House of Lords. So I think it's safe to say that those lords gave the Israelis their country. Now, here's one thing I have to, here's one thing again that you I like to point out every time I talk about these subjects. You have to understand Israel's foreign, domestic and foreign policy, they like to make it look like it's about in the interest of Jewish people. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's in the interest of those in power. So before you start looking down on every Jewish friends or enemies you have, if you are going to hate a Jew, hate them for all, for some reasons, not what the Israeli government is doing in Gaza. They have nothing to do with that. It's like, trying to hate, take for example, if Namibia was a dictatorship. It's like trying to hate me because I'm from a country that's being run by a dictator. What did I do? I'm not the dictator. Now, this is the very same problem that you see here. Now, you will run into some of what you'd call right-wing Jewish individuals just in Israel, but you know what else you'll find in Israel? Jews that oppress what the Israeli government is doing. So this has nothing to do with with Jews are bad people or Jews are whatever type of people you want to call them. Like every group of people, Jews are not very different from other, from black people and white people or Asian people. In that very group of people you are calling Jewish or Semites, they are good people, and they are people that are just flat out nuts. It's not rocket science. There is no group of people that's filled with just holy angels. Nah-uh. Every group of people have thieves, they have genocidal maniacs, they have people that are good. Let's take a break. More on that cooking.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Skyfi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always prepare.
Now that we have that out of the way, because, what annoys me about politics is that people are always taken advantage of. And that's because we don't really look into the history of events like this. You have to understand that before God gave the land to the Israeli back in the 1940s, not 3,000 years ago. Ah, yeah. Now, where's this whole God thing coming from? You have to understand that religion, not just Christianity, have been used to justify a lot of diabolical policies by a lot of regimes. In the 1400s, the Portuguese and the Vatican City used the Bible to justify subjugation and which laid the foundation of transatlantic slavery. This was the Holy See, again, for the millionth time, and I'm going to repeat this until the day that I die. I'm hoping I'm somewhere in my 80s and 90s. 120, that's not the age I'm trying to reach, unless I'm strong enough to walk and see. I don't want to live that long, are you? Now, moving on. One thing, you see, one thing that you are going to see is, when the Ottomans were ruling, they used Islam to justify all the atrocities they were doing. Now, is Islam a bad religion? No, it's not. Everyone that's in power have at some point used the religion to do what they were doing. Colonialism, even here in Namibia, apartheid guys were avid church goers. They had churches, remember? They had churches and they went to church every Sunday and worshipped the God that created all people and loved all of them, left the church service and went and subjugate some of the people that was created by the God they were worshipping. Isn't it fascinating? That's how you know that it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with control and dominance. That's it. Whether that God is, now, whether that religion that's being employed is Buddhism or Hinduism or Christianity or Islam, the religions themselves are not the problem. The practitioners, because the main goal is not to preserve the religion, is to use the religion as a form of subjugation. And it has been working for a very long time. It worked for the Ottomans, it worked for the Turks, it worked for the Romans, the Romans took it a step further. The Romans threatened the heck out of people, told them that, you know, your father that died 10 years ago. Now, this is not Imperial Rome. This is Papal Rome. Two different things. One did not give a the heck what God was saying because they were emperors. They were running their own country. And then one decided to say, you know what, God gave the power to rule to just me and my family, not you. This God who by the way loves all of us equally, just took power and all the money and then gave it to me and my family. Now me and my family, according to the God that created both of us, me and my family can live in comfort. You, on the other hand, you just have to go out there and work. What the heck? Now, an English guy by the name of Wycliffe, John Wycliffe, I think, decided to go, you know what? Actually, no. He doesn't say that. Now, you have to understand that at this time, if you were caught reading the Bible, you were arrested. Because, well, you just had to take the priest's word for it. Now, you have to understand the priests and the emperors this time, they were practicing drunkenness, debauchery, and they were just killing and stealing, but they were the ones that God gave all the authority to rule. And the French did what they did best, and I love the French. Not because of their fancy language and their fancy type of food. Not all of it. But the French can protest. What you people do, that's called playing games. The French can protest like no man's business. Was that about a year or two ago when they were protesting by spraying sewage on their parliamentary building? You see, now that was typical of the French. Now, moving on. What I find fascinating with this recent British threatening what the Israeli government is doing in Gaza. They are the one that gave them the land in the first place. And by the way, they promised that land to the French, I think. And they also promised that very same land to the Turks if they helped them fight the Soviets. Were those the Turks? Now, the thing is, according to Jeffrey Sachs, the British promised the land to the Israelis and two other countries. It's just that the one that worked for is the one, is the one that worked, then the land ended up being given to what? To the Israelis. And now they decide to remodify everything to sound like God gave it to us. Yeah, we have heard that before. We have heard that before. Put in mind that, the documents that that gave the moral justification to transatlantic slavery and, you know, Portuguese and Spanish expansion were known as the doctrines of discovery. The doctrines of discoveries which were given to the Portuguese in the 1840s and also gave to the, given to, you know, for them to expand into West Africa. And the same documents were even coming from the Pope, by the way. The same documents were given to the Spanish to, for their, you know, moral and spiritual justification for them to expand into modern day South America. According to the Pope at the time, God told King Henry VIII not to divorce his wife because, well, God was against divorce. But the same God told King Alfonso V of Portugal that it's okay for you to go to West Africa and enslave people. The homeboy upstairs is good with that. But he's not okay with you, King Henry, for, you know, divorcing your wife. He's a no-go, according to that guy. Divorcing your wife, he hates that. Enslaving people, he's okay with it. These are the things when, you know, that does not, you know, every time that I run into an atheist, I don't blame them. Because if you look at the history of Christianity, history like that will make everyone go like, really? That happened? Oh yeah, it did. Yep, it did. Yep, it did. The whole reason behind the founding of the Church of England is because King Henry VIII, the father of Queen Elizabeth I, did not, wanted to divorce his first wife, ended up executing her anyway, wanted to divorce his first wife. He went, now kings at this point, you know, before they can make a decision, they had first to seek, papal or more like moral authority from the Vatican. Now the Vatican told them what to do and what not to do. King Henry VIII wanted to divorce his wife. The Pope said, not really. Well, you know what? God doesn't like that. Divorcing, God is against that. King Alfonso VIII went there, was like, can I enslave some people? God was like, the Pope was like, yeah, interesting enough, God is okay with that. No, God was not okay with that. The Pope was okay with it. The church was okay with it. Now, if you are Catholic, before you start punching me in the face, first of all, read your history. Second of all, read the British history. Now, second of all, I'm not making fun of you. Okay, maybe a little bit making fun of you. But the point is, people in power, their primary goal is not religion. It's whatever it is that they're telling you. People in power are more driven by one thing. More power. That's it. Whatever gets them more power, they're gonna go for that. At least that's what I have concluded from the two stories I've just shared. Because you can't tell me that a God that created the earth and loved everyone equally was against something as useless as divorce. But he was okay with slavery and, you know, slavery and murder. And by the way, science, that's why I like science. Oh no, like Neil deGrasse Tyson puts it, the most racist idiots in the history of transatlantic slavery were anthropologists, because they are the ones that were writing article after article, reaching conclusion after conclusion over why lighter skin people were better than darker skin. They had a scientific reasoning behind it. By the way, it's the same reason why women were confined to the kitchen, because they were less developed to handle the complexities of the outside world. And men, white, were more developed and could handle the complexities of the outside world. Now, that's coming out of the scientific community. Useless advice coming out. Now, that's how you know that most of foreign policies that's being passed by a bunch of politicians, before you start hating the politician, finding out who is benefiting from that foreign policy. Most of the decisions that's coming out of the scientific community, find out who is financially benefiting from that scientific discovery. Then you know your answer. It's not rocket science. Yebo, isn't it fascinating? I know. So, you have the British now criticizing Israel for what it's doing in Gaza. Well, who is behind? Well, who gave them the land? Well, if you ask a lot of, a bunch of, Israeli guys at the top level of the government, they will tell you, God gave it to us. No, it was the British. Let's wrap this up with looking at what is going on. I mean, the whole thing is filled with October 7th. I don't have time for that. Israel's ground and air war has devastated Gaza, displacing nearly all its residents and killing more than 53,000 people, many of them civilians, according to Gaza's health authorities. The war began, of course, with the October 7th, 2023. No, this war began in the 1940s. It did not start on October 7th. The war in Ukraine did not start in 2022. It started in the 1990s. Again, pick a history book, because garbage like this is the reason why a lot of people are having unnecessary arguments on social media over when did this war begin? Who is the good guy and who is the bad guy? By the way, if you want to know who the, if you want to understand a war, don't look at the people that are suffering from it or the people that are fighting it. Look at the people that are benefiting from it. Who is making money from it? Then you have your answer. Show me who makes money from a war and I'll show you how to stop that war. There's one guy that said, I think that's an American guy. Show me who makes money from a war and I'll show you how to stop that war. Don't look at who is suffering from the war. Now, this whole war, and now this whole thing is, put in mind, the condemnation is stopping aid, not the bombardment. In other words, now, this is the irony of geopolitics. We want Israel to allow in the aid, but not to stop the bombing. In other words, well, at least let them eat before you start bombing them. Now, that rationality, the painful thing is it's coming out of adults are making those decisions, not kids. I mean, kids you'd understand, but adults are making those decisions. Now, on October 7th, Hamas led attack in which militants killed 1,200 people. Now, according to the Israeli statistics on October 7th, there are 1,200 people killed. Now, but since then, 53,000 Palestinians have died. So 1,500, 53,000. I'm not a mathematician, but those numbers are wildly different. So, these guys are now Hamas welcomed the joint statement describing a stance as an important step in the right direction towards restoring the principles of international law. And the whole thing talks about international law in a very twisted way. And that is in a way of more like, how do I put this? In her interview with Al Jazeera, Angelina Jolie points out one of the reasons why she left, her job as an ambassador for UNICEF, I think. A position she held for a couple of years. That, when you are inside this, when you start working for this organization, you begin to see that there's a partial application of these laws.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you. Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side.
Always prepared. Welcome back, thank you for tuning in. If you just stay tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut Iso from Eagle FM and Exile. My conclusion, Gerich, and Exile in the hands of Sizwe Masalitso, Gerie, so that Jaisal continue to lesser the following programs that will follow Iso from Eagle FM radio station. Is that Afrikaans or French at this point? So the there are no friends in politics. There are no permanent friends or permanent enemies. The only thing that's permanent is interest. During the you know how Iran today is being criticized for its quote unquote nuclear. Nuclear weapons development. You wanna know who supplied them in the 1950s and 60s with all the nuclear material and technology? South Africa under apartheid, apartheid South Africa. And some of Iraq's, nuclear technology was given to them by the Americans. Iran was under the leadership of the Shah. Now, the Shah, by the way, the guy, the same guy who's, who is the brainchild behind your G-Wagon, that guy came up with a brilliant idea. Hi there, Baida. So, under the Shah of Iran, by the way, this is the Shah that was ousted in 1950s, and then the British and the Americans came together, and then they ousted the Mossadegh and brought the Shah back, who ruled for another, for another few decades. But, here's the thing. After Ayatollah takes over in the 1970s, and starts establishing ties with the ANC, I think. That's when the whole animosity between the West and Iran starts. When the Shah was in power, who was, by the way, a flat-out dictator from day one, the advocates of democracy did not care that the people in Iran were under the leadership of, the Shah of Iran, the guy who, tortured and made everyone that disagreed with his way of doing things. That guy was good. And as soon as the guy was voted in, the guy was, anti-democracy. The only interest that was, the only crime that, that Mohammed Mossadegh committed was nationalizing Iran's oil, which was under Anglo-Iranian oil, now British Petroleum. It's in the name, it's British. Now, did the British care about the democracy in Iran? No, they didn't. They cared to this day. They only still care about interests that their private companies are, will have access to if they have someone who is pro them in office. So for that, we'll give, heads off to Henry Kissinger for pointing it out. In politics, there are no permanent friends or permanent enemies, only permanent interests. Translation: today's friends can be tomorrow's enemies if their interests are misaligned. You are welcome. So, to conclude, work hard, don't give up on your dreams. IUM, Ongwediva campus is in 1999, started in a sitting room, and now they have a blown up campus. So, to figure out the best way to be successful, know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. Get yourself a certificate or a degree. Attend stakeholder engagements. Find out what you are good at and stick with it, aka consistency for those of you that went to private school. With that, I hand you over in the, my wifey returned back with a wonderful, wonderful hairstyle, which I indirectly sponsored. Sizwe Masalitso takes over from here for me. I leave you in their hands, and we meet again tomorrow, same time, same place. Tomorrow is Thursday, and just put in mind that today is very cold, anyone that will be found, according to the president's press statement, everyone that will be found taking a shower will be arrested for attempted suicide. With that, you all stay tuned for the next program.
Olio mnangeshefa na wahara kushivifa oma akuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkulu olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.